Blog Talk Radio.
This is Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. My guest tonight is author and singer Stuart Lewis. What you're listening to the background is one of his songs called Seven Messages, also the title, part of the title of his new book, You Have Seven Messages. Stuart, hello.
Hi.
You didn't expect that song there, did you?
No, I didn't.
I'm a techno nerd. Listen, I have just been absolutely amazed ever since we got in touch with each other. I have been listening to your music, reading your stuff, and I was like totally shocked in the amount of stuff that you've put out in your short life. I counted four books and countless songs. You've appeared on The Guiding Light. You've opened for Anna DeFranco. How do you pack all this in?
Well, I've been around for a little bit. So, you know, I've just been able to, you know, I've been very fortunate because I've been able to, you know, I worked in restaurants for many years, but in the last sort of 10 years, I've been able to say, you know, when people ask me, what do you do? I say, I don't say I work in a restaurant. I say, I am a singer, songwriter, and a novelist.
You
so
are.
It's really nice to be able to say that.
It is, I can tell.
Yeah.
I hear a smile in your voice. I really do. It's sweet. Listen, I'm going to do a little plug for myself here. If you want to talk to either myself or ask Stuart a question or make a comment about any of his work, please call 805-830-8355 and press 1 to get in the queue, and we'll get you in real quick for your question. And now a plug for Stuart. On Monday, March the 12th, here in lovely Fort Lauderdale, it's going to be beautiful next week. It will be. It's gorgeous. Stuart's appearing at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts in a special series showcasing singer songwriters. If you get on the show page, you have to be on the show page to be listening to this, you can click on crystalharringtonpresents.com and find Stuart Lewis for March 12th to get your tickets. This is coming Monday, March 12th. That's why we scheduled this today, so we can kind of plug Stuart's show here as well as his book. I'd like to get back to the book. In fact, You Have Seven Messages. I read that. It was great. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, I first wrote two sort of gay beach reads that I was really happy about. And my agent at the time, I had a teenage character in my second book called Relative Stranger. And my agent at the time said to me, you really have this voice of this teenage girl. He said, why don't you try and write a young adult novel?
Uh-huh.
So I basically came up with the idea based on my friend's sister, who works for the New York Times, her daughter, who was very sort of, you know, kind of 13 going on 30, and I kind of based it on her. It was just one of those things that I thought, wow, this is a character in a book. So uh-huh. I based it on her, and then I just came up with the idea of having her mother die and having her find the cell phone with seven messages on it. I thought that was a great premise.
Uh-huh.
And so did my agent, and so did Random House. So it's been a wonderful journey. The book is doing really well. It's featured in all the Barnes & Nobles across the country, and it's selling really well, and they've just
good.
Bought my next young adult book called The Secret Ingredient. So
fabulous.
I'm very happy to kind of be able to establish a little bit of a career as
uh-huh.
a novelist as well as a singer-songwriter, which I've always been.
Cool. Let me just give you another plug. This is the American Library Association quick pick for young adults. The young adult novels, both in straight and gay and lesbian, ever since the Harry Potters, have been the most profitable and best-selling for the big publishers. This is just from an inside view here. It seems like there's a small but very voracious, group of kids out there that are reading, and then there's creeps like me that like to read young adult novels. So,
well, yeah, it's true. You know, it's true. It's the young adult market in fiction is thriving, even though the publishing industry has been suffering. The young adult has been thriving, and it is because of that. It's not only teens that are reading young adult literature; it's adults, because you know we've all been teenagers. So we've all been there. And also, the books kind of move really fast, and the plot really moves, and it's just fun to read. So I'd say my readership is mostly teenage girls, but I also get a lot of, you know, middle-aged women who read young adult books. So I've been able to expand my audience immensely. So I'm very happy about that.
Good, I can tell. And also, the theme, which you haven't, you know, you told me you did not write it out of experience, you wrote it out of a character, but the theme, I'm older, and I have lost a parent, and my partner's lost a parent, and both of us have been in the position of cleaning out our mother's things. For some reason, the gay son ends up doing it all. Seriously, it's the craziest thing. And I found, you know, really, really interesting things. She did have a cell phone. But one of the things that I found was that, and this is kind of a funny thing on the same thing, is my mother had an AOL email account. And there were like a lot of, I got into it and I found all these little messages and people she had been communicating with. She was 83, so it's kind of interesting. As an 83-year-old, she had an AOL account. By the way, it's almost impossible to close one of those accounts after people die.
Yeah, exactly.
That's also the result of some of the.
Oh, that's cool. So you had kind of a personal connection to it.
Exactly, and you know, all the baby boomers, which is one I'm one of the baby boomers. We're all going through this now. We're all going through. Either parents downsizing, you know, have to go through this stuff when they move into a nursing home or Florida. But I moved to Florida early. I got a jump start. And then, you know, also the death of a parent, and not necessarily a tragic death. Of course, yours was, you know, Luna's mother had a tragic death. I think it was a taxi cab.
Yeah, she got hit by a taxi cab, yeah.
Oh, good. I'm good. I'm getting my brain's better. Anyway, so she got hit by a taxi cab. So it was a very sudden thing. And she finds a cell phone with these seven messages. And she finds that her mother was kind of not what she thought she was she?
Exactly. I wanted to explore that theme of, like, do we really know the people that we think we know the most?
Right.
And how much do we really know people?
Uh-huh.
And even though the mother was this wonderful, mysterious character that she had coveted her whole life, she starts to unveil a whole other world that she never knew about, that her mother had experienced. And I think it's, you know, it's powerful because she kind of, you know, has to grow up really fast and realize that people aren't perfect.
Correct.
And even your own parents who you idolize and think are one way, you know, everyone has their side to them that is imperfect.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to explore.
Yeah, I remember reading one of those self-help books from somebody that said that, you know, the goal of hopefully your children will realize that you're not only mortal, but that you make mistakes. You know?
Exactly.
But you don't really for a long time. I mean, for a very, very long. you do believe your parents are perfect. Even if they do things that you don't agree with, you say, my God, they did everything right financially. They did everything right like this. They seem to have their lives together while my life isn't together. So
yeah.
It's amazing. It really was. It was just a fun book to read. I did read it in one day. You're right. Young adult novels to go by are a day for
Well,
me.
I wrote it in 3 years, so I'm glad you read it in one day.
That's like preparing this banquet that I just went to. I'm not really sorry. No, I'm not. That's
no,
why
it's
I read.
Okay. I understand. It moves fast, and that's what I wanted it to do.
Right. Well, I do read fast, but and you were right. Young adult novels are hard to put down. They move very quickly. There aren't long, drawn-out descriptions, though.
Yeah, like 5 pages describing an orange on the table. It's like, oh, God, please.
Or a sunset.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend, Lev Raphael, who is a gay writer, but his hobby, he's written 20 novels, and one of his new books that I just reviewed, just to give you an example of how long it is, he rewrites Jane Austen and Edith Wharton with modern themes in their voice.
Wow.
That was the sunset joke. Okay, so I am going to play a little bit of your music, and then we're going to talk about your music. Is that okay?
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Here we go. What's going on here? Okay, that proves you have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you.
You do have a beautiful voice. I just wanted to let the listeners hear some of it. There's quite a bit more. You can go to stuartlewis.com, StewartLewis.com, and find out more about Stuart and his music and his work. But let's talk about your music here for a bit. Your parents were musical, is that correct?
Yes, I grew up in sort of a Partridge Family kind of environment. My parents were in a bluegrass band, and when I was about 2 or 3, someone threw me a tambourine, and that was it. I just, you know, music was sort of a part of my DNA.
Oh, my God.
I felt very lucky because, you know, it was like there was no question of whether I was going to be a musician or not. Was an obvious thing. And I just loved being, you know, a part of that sort of community where, you know, it's a family where, you know, whenever my parents had a party, it would always end up around the piano.
Uh-huh.
And everyone would be singing, and music was just such an integral part of their lives, and it definitely became the same thing for me. I mean, I end up being just like my mother when I'm at a party. When I'm at a party, I end up at the piano. So that's the way it works.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, music brings people together, and it's always put smiles on people's faces, and I'm very grateful to be raised in an environment where music was such an integral part of everything. So
that sounds great. So Partridge Family, that's like my favorite show because that's my era. I really sat there. No, really, I don't look at or feel it, but I'm 61, and that was my.
Wow,
I know.
You look great for 61.
I know, I'm very well preserved.
I even saw you with your shirt off. Jeez.
Yeah.
I hope I look that good when I'm 61.
Yeah. Well, living in Florida, we don't wear much clothes. You can't eat much. You know, no carbs, no dairy, no. It's a whole different lifestyle
exactly.
Than New York. Yeah, but we won't talk about that now. That's a whole other show. So did you have a bus? I mean, the Partridge family had this very cool bus.
Exactly.
Right. Now, they were a real band. I mean, and it's funny you said you become your mother. You know, I become my mother. I lose my keys. You become your mother. You become a musician. I mean, there's different DNA.
Well, I lose my keys, too. My mother does that, too. So don't worry about it.
Okay. I mean, that's the other thing.
But I just happen to be the one playing the piano at the party when everyone gathers around. So.
Oh, my God. I want you at my party. So what are some of the other musical, what are the other songs and albums and things you've done and some of the other musical things you've done?
Well, I originally was in a band called Acoustic Junction, and we were sort of like a kind of, they called us the Indigo Boys. We were three guys that sang harmonies, and we had some success. And then I went solo, and I've put out four records since then. And
great.
My latest one was I got signed to Hear, which is, you know, the whole company that owns Out and Advocate, and
right.
So I was their first, I was their guinea pig artist, and they put out a record called Information that that has been placed on a lot of TV shows, and I've been able to publish it for music publishing, and then most recently I put out an EP on my own. That's more of kind of going back to my roots of like really stripped down folk songs where you just kind of tell the story and there's not a lot of production going on. So it kind of runs the whole my body of work musically runs the whole gamut from folk to rock to pop and then back to folk again. So
wow,
kind of have it all out there. Yeah.
That's great. Now, if people go to iTunes and punch in Stuart Lewis, I'm one of those iTunes Kindle people because I don't like to, you know, go to, you know,
Gaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You're Stuart Lewis, spelled Stewartlewis, if they punch that on iTunes, they will find
exactly.
I've got your iTunes page up right now.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I want people to know that's the easiest way to get stuff is to either go to Amazon for his books. I'm going to read the titles of all your books right now. It's up for Amazon. It's a little plug, right?
No, that's okay.
Okay,
yeah,
here we go.
Exactly.
These are not in any order. I've got Stuart Lewis is written Rock Starlet, Information, two words, and he said there's also an album that goes with that, Relative Stranger, and You Have Seven Messages, the most recent and the young adult novel. And the new one you just mentioned, the new one that's coming out?
Is called The Secret Ingredient, and that's coming out next year.
Oh, good for you. So
yeah, it's about a teenage cook in Los Angeles who has two dads.
Oh, great.
And
great.
I'm really excited about it.
Okay, well, we'll have to have you back on the show and talk about
for
that.
Sure.
But this one we're going to get back to your music here in a minute. So you're performing here Monday night at the Broward Center for Performing Arts, a beautiful theater. There's a gigantic monster theater, but you're in the smaller theater just absolutely gorgeous. Have you ever been here?
No, I haven't. I'm excited to see it.
It's a great venue, and I know that people are going to love it. This is it's turned into a musical kind of town. The last, I would say, 5 to 7 years, there has been a influx of not just Northerners, but something that hasn't happened in Florida in a long time is that the people that were raised here are staying here. It seems like a different type of thing. It's not. I'm going to say something, and people are going to like go, huh? In the last election, Florida was the fourth youngest state in the nation as far as voters. You know, we're not all blue-haired people waiting for. And it's odd because people come here and expect it all to be, you know, blue-haired people going to condos and living, you know, for the next buffet, but. We have the second highest birth rate in the United States, and as I said, it's turned into a young state. A few years ago, we actually had more people in elementary school than on Social Security, which is the first time in the state's history that's happened. So what's happened with the influx is that we've had a big culture thing, not only in music, but in art and literature. We have art shows that are nationally known. So it's a really interesting. I've watched it all. You know, I came here when this was kind of a cultural vacuum, and so I think you're going to have a good time here. Okay, back to your music. Where else do you perform? Okay. What other venues do you perform at besides singer-songwriter?
Tomorrow night I'm performing in Miami at Luna Star Cafe.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. So and then next week I'm performing in Philadelphia, Baltimore, and New York.
Wow.
And it's all listed on my website, stuartlewis.com. Okay.
Yeah, I've got it. Everyone get stuartlewis.com up in front of you. You're all in front of a computer. You're all literate. But have you ever been to Miami? Is this your first trip down south? You have been to Miami.
Yes. I come here a lot.
Okay.
I love it.
Oh, you're in Miami now? Or are you in?
Yes. I'm in Miami now. Yeah.
So when I said it was cold, you knew that it really wasn't cold.
Yeah, it's not cold at all. I'm from Boston, honey. I mean, cold is cold.
But you can tell the locals because they're the ones out there wearing sweatshirts.
Tonight. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's like in L.A. when people are wearing parkas and it's 70 degrees.
Right, right. But, you know, you live out here and you do get, like, you get really, like, you know, used to this, you know, oh, it's 85 and sunny. Tomorrow, it's 85 and sunny. So, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It is, and it does affect your brain because you have a lot. It's, really, it's really hard sometimes to get some work done. It really is. So this part of the show, I ask people who are successful, and you're very successful, and I'm going to do it in two phases, one in music and one in literature. What would you say to a young writer just starting out as far as your best advice and your worst advice that you ever got?
The best advice I would say as a young writer is to keep your mind and your eyes open, because everything people say to me, how do you write a book? And I always say, well, you know, you don't really know how to answer that, because you mm-hmm. basically it's sort of like making connections. And it's mm-hmm. like all the things that happen in your life, if you're aware of everything mm-hmm. and your eyes are open and your heart is open, your mind is open, then mm-hmm. those things will then become infused into your creative process. So I always say, you know, make connections with people. Go to places you wouldn't go. Go do things you wouldn't do, because you never know where inspiration is going to come. Mm-hmm. I have a line in one of my songs that says, heroes come from unlikely places. And it's mm-hmm. true. You have to put yourself in those situations that you would never necessarily be in.
Right.
Because you never know where inspiration is going to come. And
right.
the worst advice I would say is to get out of, is to not be in your head and not mm-hmm. think to yourself, this is how I want to portray myself as an artist. Instead of thinking about it that way, think about it as from the inside out, and thinking, I'm going to create something that's really me, and that's not something that I think I want to be or that I think I want to portray myself as, that it's more what's really there, and just trying to find that truth in your creative process.
Good. That's great. That's really good. I really never understood how people can go, like, into a mountain cabin and write about, you know, Chinese history. But you hear
I
all.
Know, it's true.
Yeah,
it's
and,
true. I go to places, you know, I just was in St. Thomas editing my book, and I'm editing a book about, you know, a 17-year-old in Los Angeles, and I'm in, you know, this island in the Caribbean. But it's all about putting yourself in a place where you can, you know, access that mm-hmm. part of your creativity,
mm-hmm.
if wherever it is. You know, I mean, if you get out of your comfort zone and get into for me, the ocean and being near the beach always helps my creative process. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I live on the ocean. I stare at it all.
Yeah.
Time. Yeah, and I'm doing it now.
It gives you good perspective.
There's something about water. I mean, I think the Orientals have it all worked out with earth, water, and earth and fire and things. But okay. excuse me. So do you write every day?
I do, and I write usually in the morning. One of the things that I always tell writers when they ask me, like, oh, when do you write or what? I say if you write in the morning, a couple of hours in the morning, or even, you know, a half an hour in the morning, it's when your mind is at its most clear place. So usually I write in the morning, and then in the afternoon I edit what I wrote. I write every day, probably, you know, a couple hours in the morning, maybe a couple hours in the afternoon, and that's the way I work.
That's common. I've heard that from other writers. My partner is a retired psychiatrist who's now just does writing, and I have to leave him alone for a few hours every morning and not leave. I leave the house.
Yeah.
You know, it's just I make noise, and I don't. You have a partner, right? And
yes.
And how does he deal with all this?
You know, he just thinks it's wonderful. He loves being. You know, he's a corporate. He's like a corporate rock star, and I'm like a rock star.
Oh, wow. very cool.
So it works out really well. He loves it. It's
yeah,
very
that's
different from what he's used to. So.
Yeah, and that's our lives, too.
He's very proud. He's like my publicist everywhere we
good.
Go.
Oh,
have you seen this book? And blah, blah.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, you know, you've got a great day. Well, yeah, I'm a fan, and you've got a fan at home.
Nice.
How long have you been together?
6 years.
Congratulations. We're going on almost 9 here. That is great.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. I feel very lucky because he's someone that, you know, understands that I'm an artist. If I say I'm going to go to some island to edit my book and I'm going to leave or I'm going to go on tour and play some shows, he's just 100% behind it because he believes in me as an artist.
Good. So. That's really great. That is an incredible amount of support. I've heard many not so great stories from writers. I've been doing this on the air only a little over 2 years, but I want to give you a little bit of my background in the last couple of minutes. I was the director of special events for the nation's largest gay and lesbian library, the Stonewall National Museum and Archives here in Fort Lauderdale, and I did about 150 live author presentations, and I got to know some of them, and there were some not so great stories about partners and former partners and many former partners who didn't quite understand that what you just said earlier about getting into that place in your own head. You don't have when you're there. You're not a partner. You're just you.
Yeah.
And there's an incredible number of people who don't understand that, and you're very blessed. I'm very blessed too. I've got the same thing going on in my life and his life, and so you're right. It's rare. I just want you to know that from somebody on this side who now has, I think, spoken to 200 or 300 authors and have asked them personal questions, because I do that all the time, you're very blessed, because this is a problem. This is a huge problem
with
relationships, gay, straight, whatever. And, you know, whatever you hear, you know, you read about all these resistance and stars and things like that have trouble. And it is bad. Okay, real quick, we're in the last 90 seconds. I told you it was the fastest 30 minutes of your life. You're appearing this Monday night at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. For tickets, go to your website, and it has a click for your event that you'll be here in Fort Lauderdale. Tomorrow night at Luna Cafe in Miami.
Yep, Luna Star Cafe.
Star Cafe. I've got it right in front of me, and I'm really turning into my mother. Luna Star Cafe, and it is a beautiful, beautiful venue, and you're going to have a gorgeous night tomorrow night. The forecast is great, so, you know, you should go outside. No, you can't play outside. So how long are your sets at a place like Luna?
I'll do probably like a 45-minute set with, you know, a couple of encores, so probably about a 60-minute set.
Great. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Listen, we have like 19 seconds to go. I'm telling people again, StuartLewis.com. You can get the books on Amazon and iTunes, Stuart Lewis. This has been a joy. Good luck with your career. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
And I hope to see you on Monday.
I think we're going to try to make it. We're going to do it, okay?
All right. Thanks, honey.
All right. Great.
All right. Bye.
Good night, Fort Lauderdale. Good night. Bye-bye.